first like to read the whole chapter. Then answered Zophar the Naamanite and said, should not the multitude of words be answered, and should a man full of talk be justified? Should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed? For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee, and that he would shew thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserve. And then thou be searchest, find out God. Can thou find out the Almighty and the perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than earth and broader than the sea. If he cut off and shut up or gather together, then who can hinder him? For he knoweth vain men, he seeth wickedness also. Will he not then consider it? For a vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. If thou prepare thy heart, and stretch out thy hand towards them, if iniquity be in thy heart, put it away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacle. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear. Because thou shalt forget thy misery and remember it as a water that passes away. And thine age shall be a clearer than noonday. Thou shalt shine forth. Thou shalt be as the morning. And thou shalt be secure because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee and thou shalt take thy rest and safety, and thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid, yea, many shall make suit unto thee. But the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. Our Heavenly Father, what a wonderful chapter we have in your book on Job chapter 11, and let us gather and see that some things in this chapter, this doesn't change today. Isn't it amazing that the scholars, whoever they are, say this is the first book written, and we can see the problems and justification by works just coming in from all sides for poor Job. In the Lord's name we pray, amen. Okay, Job, the book of Job, you can almost pick it up in any chapter, is about persecution. It's a question of integrity. In chapter 1, verse 7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence cometh thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, for going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth? A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. So we have a contest here. God asked Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And Job said, well, because you don't let me touch his stuff, that's the only reason why he fears God and eschews evil. So the Lord took down whatever that hedge is and let Satan touch his stuff, and he was utterly destroyed. His sons were killed. His livelihood was destroyed. And he had nothing, but he didn't curse God. Then Satan told God, well, if you let me take away his health, they'll curse you to his face. And this is what we have here throughout the book of Job. Five people talked to Job, the messengers, his wife, his three friends, and the fifth one is the young man. Now in Job chapter 11, chapter 2, verse 11, it says, now when Job's three friends heard all the evil that was upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz, the Termite, and Bildad, the Shuhite and Zophar the Naphamite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him to comfort him. So in chapter 11, we hear for the first time a Zophar the Naamanite. He's come to tell Job why this wickedness has come upon him. In all cases, his three friends and his wife blame God. We know from Scripture, God did not do it. Satan did it. God did allow it, but that's not the same thing. So here we have in Job chapter 11, Job is still, wounds are probably bleeding, because it says he was covered from the crown of his head to the tip of his feet with bleeding sores. You know, he couldn't sleep, he couldn't turn over, he couldn't get covered. He set himself down in ashes. He took scraps from pottery and scraped his wounds, and he's a mess, and he wants to die. Now, this is his third friend, and yet all they've done is criticize Job. Not one of them bought him any oil or any balm or any first aid equipment or nothing. They're not a comfort to him. Now, when Zophar comes in this chapter of Job, he comes about to pour just about as much salt and vinegar as the former two had done into Job's wounds. And he exhibits a very high charge against Job, that Job is a proud and false in justifying himself. And he appeals to God to be on his side, to show Job, to tell God, God would tell Job, hey, Job, listen to Zophar. He knows what's going on. Now, Zophar has a moralistic gospel. If Job repents, God will restore him to his former prosperity and safety. But if he is wicked, then it is vain for Job to expect it. So Zophar was a moralist. He had a moral gospel. You put your good works on one side, you put your evil works on the other side. If your moral works outweigh your evil works, you're in with God. So he was saying to Job, you're nothing but a little secret sinner. You're nothing but full of hot air. You're a windbag for trying to even talk about your righteousness. In the Scofield Bible, it says, I quote, Zophar is a religious dogmatism who assumes to know all about God, what God will do in any given case, why he will do it, and all his thoughts about it. Of all forms of dogmatism, this is the most irrelevant and least open to reason. So, without the comments from the some of the commentaries in the Scofield Bible, and let's just get right into the book. Now, in verse number 1, then answered Zophar the Naamanite and said, should not the multitude of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be justified? And we can expect the same type of thing as this question that Zophar put to Job. Because in Acts chapter 17, the same type of question, the same type of acquisition is told to the Apostle Paul. Now, Zophar says, a man full of talk. But we'll pick it up in Acts chapter 17 and we'll see what the people thought of Paul. Now in Acts chapter 17, verse 17 it goes, therefore disputed he in the synagogues with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Now when Paul was disputing in the synagogue with the Jews, what was he teaching? He was teaching Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. But that's for a later message. Now, look at Paul. He's disputing in the synagogue with the Jews. He's disputing with the devout persons. and he's in the market daily with them that met him. Now, the book of Acts continues in Acts chapter 17. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this blabber say?" Others, some, "He seemeth to set forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to Agropius, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine wherefore thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean." Now, that's exactly what these Stoics and Epicureans talk about Paul. "What will this blabber say?" So you know they're not coming in there with an open mind. And today, we can expect the same thing when you get that blank deer in the headlights look. "I'm a Bible-believing, mid-Acts dispensation, Pauline believer." They look at you like you're some kind of a nut. And that's what Zophar says to Job in Job chapter 11, verse 2. "Should a man full of talk be justified?" So Zophar, like the Epicureans and the Stoics, said,
"Lost you, Don. Come on back, Don."
What? Is that better? So we see this. Zophar told everyone that was listening, "Should a man be full of talk be justified? Should a man full of hot air?" Or as the Epicureans and Stoics said, "What will this blabber say?" So you know that they're not going in there with an open mind. They're just as evil as any evil man. And here they came to comfort Job, and all they did is adding salt to his wounds. Verse number 3, he said, "Should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed?" Now, what is Zophar telling Job? Should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed? Well, I don't know about you, but it's a known fact when we are in controversy, we often charge our opponent or the person we're in controversy with is that they are guilty and they are liars. Rather than adjusting the issues, they'll call you a liar. Now, what's that famous line? "Have you stopped beating your wife?" Well, how do you answer that? If you answer yes, you're guilty. If you answer no, you're guilty. You know, that type of thing. He's saying there, should thy lies make men hold their peace? So Zophar told Job he is a liar. So now, not only if you're going to defend yourself, you've got to defend yourself from being a liar. Now, I remember back in my stupid days, I went out late with the boys one night, and I was with a guy, I still remember his name, Clifford G. Blasey. And my conscience was searing me, and I go, "What am I going to tell my wife?" And he gave me some advice. He said, "Walk in the door screaming. It puts them on the defensive. You know, you're guilty, but you go on the offensive and you attack." And that's what Zophar is doing here. Should thy lies make men hold their peace? Verse 4, "For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes." Now, did Job say this? Well, if we look back at chapter 10, verse number 7, I think it is. Why don't I learn? Yeah, verse number 7, it says, "Thou knowest that I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver me out of thine hand." Sorry. So, yes, he didn't say exactly like that, but Zophar asserted, "For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes." in I believe it was chapter 5, he knew he was guilty and he said he would see his Redeemer. But Job's point is he didn't think he was guilty of all this that happened to him. His three friends and his wife said, "Yes, you are." Now verse 5, "But," Zophar continues, "but oh that God would speak and open his lips against thee." Now, Zophar says, if God was here sitting with us and he could speak to you, Job, boy, would he have some things to tell you, you unmoral, unrighteous, secret closet sinner. That's what Zophar is saying here. And he goes on in verse 6 and says, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thy iniquity deserveth. Now this is an interesting verse. Job chapter 11, verse number 6. And that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom. And because we have the whole Bible, guess what? We have the secrets of wisdom that Job didn't have, and definitely Zophar didn't have. We have wisdom. Paul defines that wisdom that Zophar has in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 19. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he hath taken the wise in their own craftiness. Now that's the wisdom of the world. But we have this power, according to Romans 16, 25 and 26. Now to him that hath the power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. The secrets of wisdom in Job chapter 11 verse 6 are being unfolded, and they were unfolded by the risen Christ to the Apostle Paul. The mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made wisdom, now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. The secrets of wisdom that Zophar says God has showed to us. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, it says, but of him are ye in Christ, whom of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according to as it is written, he's glorious, let him glory in the Lord. The wisdom we want is Christ in us. Jesus Christ made unto us wisdom. That's where it's at. And it continues in this book in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom that old Zophar and Job didn't know about in Job chapter 11, verse 6. Because the verse says it was a secret, it was hidden. In Titus it says that it was, the plan was found before the foundation of the earth. Paul says, but we speak of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, something secret, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And then one more verse about this secret of wisdom that they mention in Job chapter 11, verse 6. It says in Colossians 2, verse 2, that their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mysteries of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the word of God, which is far more important. Now, then, Colossians 2 and verses 2 and 3, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, in all the riches of full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom of knowledge. So as you're skimming through your Bible, I know most of you read it through at least once a month, and you come across Job chapter 11, verse 6, and you see that, and that he would show the secrets of wisdom. Well, he did show the secrets of wisdom. He showed them to the risen Christ, showed them to the Apostle Paul, who penned his letters, and showed them with us on the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. We can know the secrets of wisdom that God has hid by through what the risen Christ gave to the Apostle Paul. Now, in that same verse, he says, Job chapter 11, verse 6, know, therefore, that God exalted of thee less than thy iniquity deserves. And what Zophar says is true. We all deserve to burn in hell forever. James chapter 2, verse 10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And our justice system is the exact same way. They bring you up on 30 charges. You're found guilty of one, you go to jail. And where do we get that? Well, the founding fathers got it from the Bible. And that's the way God is. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. We're all guilty. Just like Zophar said, know therefore that God exalted of thee less than thine iniquity deserved. And that's true for all of us. We all cannot stand to the justice of God, because the Lord said if we're guilty in one point, we're guilty of all. But fortunately, he knew we couldn't keep the law, and he sent forth his Son, or God in the flesh, and he kept the law perfectly and died for us. And all we have to do is believe it. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, paying for my sins, and you have eternal life. But know, therefore, if you don't have that payment or you don't believe it, go to Job chapter 11. For he knoweth vain men, he seeth wickedness also. Will he not then consider it? So what is Zophar saying to Mr. Job? He says, you're a vain man. God sees your little wickedness. Didn't he consider it? And this is why you lost your sons, you lost your businesses, you lost your servants. All that's for nothing. All you got to do is repent there, old Job. This is what he's saying. For vain men would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. And that's what he's telling Job. He's a wild ass colt. Now, Paul admonishes us, only the solution is different. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. You know, we look at this book of Job, and it kind of parallels Jacob's trouble the last 42 weeks in the book of Daniel. And there is a gospel, and we know that the tribulation saint, when we're long gone, rolling into heaven, that there will be a tribulation saint to go through some fierce, agonizing times, just like Job is. And their hope we read in Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation," just like Job, "and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst no more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes." Now, that type of life will be the future. You can pick up that type of life after the book of Philemon and see what that tribulation saint is going to have to go through. Our salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he had to do. The only thing we got to do is do nothing. And that's impossible for most people. You mean I only have to believe? And they don't like it because they want to contribute something. So, I hear pop-ups. So here comes the work salvation. Now, in verse 13, it says, listen to carefully, "If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thy hand toward him. If iniquity be in thy hand, put it far away, and let the wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles." And let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. "For then shall thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shall not fear." Now we look at that. In verse 13, we see an if principle. And then in verse 15, we see the then principle. So what is Zophar telling Job? If thou repent, put away your sin, then you will be saved. And that's exactly what he's saying. You read the verses 13, 14, and 15. If thou prepare thy heart and stretch out thy hand towards me, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it away, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. So here's a works gospel. Job stretches out with a repentant heart towards God, and he can finally access God because he put iniquity away from his house. And that's a false gospel today. Just like in the tribulation where it says, renounce your evil works and see that they do not offend God. Because in James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And the problem with most people today, they think those verses in Job chapter 13, 14, Job chapter 11, verses 13, 14, and 15 are just as true today for salvation as James chapter 4, verse 8. But they don't understand right division. We get all the blessings from God poured down on us every second of every day. If we're no longer getting the blessings from God, it's because we walked away from it. And if we get in a little trouble out there, sin is pleasurable for a season, and we run back where? Back. Sin is pleasurable for a season, then it slaps you around, and you realize the folly in it, and if you're fortunate, you'll run back to God, and you'll be back under those blessings again. The spigot is wide open from God to us, blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. We have them all. But according to other parts of the Bible, their conduct is more important. Our conduct is our walk, should talk, but in their conduct, they must do works meet for repentance. Now let's go on. It says in verse 16, because if you do all this, Job chapter 11, 13, 14, and 15, according to Zophar, this is what will happen. It says, For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast, and shalt not fear. Because thou shalt forget thy misery, and remember it as waters pass away. And thine age shall be clearer than the noonday, and thou shalt shine forth, thou shalt be as the morning, and thou shalt be secure, because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about a tree, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. And thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, many shall make suit unto thee, but the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. And that was Job chapter 11, verse 20. Now it says in verse 20, and the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. And this theme about the wicked will have their day with God, and it shall fail. It's almost like a recurring theme in the book of Job. The first time it's mentioned is in Job chapter 8, verse 13. It says, so are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring him to the king of tares. Now, ladies and gentlemen here tonight, have you ever gotten a Christmas card referring to the attributes of God, calling him the King of Tares? In Job chapter 8, verse 13, so all the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring him to the King of Tares. You know, there's a lot of churches, evangelical, that God is full of love, but they don't understand the attribute of God and his justice. Zophar calls him the King of Care. Oh, this is in, I'm sorry, Job chapter 18, verse 14, is where he's referred to as the King of Tares. We sing that song, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, but King of Tares. The wicked will have their day with God. And as Paul says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God unless you have a Savior, and the Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Job chapter 27, verse 8, it says, for what is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he have gained, when God taketh away his soul. So, you got all the toys, you're running the empire, you have all your stuff. For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul? you know, absolutely nothing. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 24, it says, though fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. And what is that big fear of the wicked? Well, the fear of the wicked is that universal fear, death. They fear death. And their fear will come to fruition. It will be come upon them. You're going to fall into the hands of a living God. And you're going to go to hell. And you're going to pay for your sins for eternity. The righteous today trust that the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty in the flesh, paid for their sins. They don't have to spend eternity in hell. They'll spend it with Him. And then a couple more verses and we're through. In Proverbs 20, verse 20, it says, whoso curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. We're breaking one of the Ten Commandments. Some serious stuff back in Israel's time. Your kid is unruly, you took him to the city council and they took care of him. So, Job chapter 11, verse 20, but the eyes of the wicked shall fail, that's true, and they shall not escape. Now, it's funny, everyone thinks they have some place to run, but in Amos chapter 5, verse 19, it says, as if a man did flee from a lion, and a bear meet him, or went into a house and leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. You know, it's the same thing. You're not going to escape the justice of God, the King of Terrors. He's provided a way out. May you tonight, if you're in this room, and you don't know for sure that way out, I can rest on the Word of God, you will face this King of Terrors. And you don't want to do that. You want to get your sin problem taken care of. No one can go without sinning. But all sins must be paid for. You can pay for them yourself, as the rich man said in Luke chapter 16, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Hell is a place. And what was going on there, or is going on there, is torment. Or you can trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for your salvation. Please don't let another second go by in your life without making that decision to trust Christ. Okay, that concludes Job chapter 11. I'll entertain questions.